Spin-off media is always weird, but what's weirder to me is that the Final Fantasy VII universe alone will soon have over one half as many games as the entire mainline Final Fantasy series itself. And yes, every Final Fantasy VII remake release will count as a different release, so tying or beating 15 is totally doable. Count the two movies and it's even closer. Just how many Final Fantasy VII games are there? Join your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki for this information and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. We are live once again with our program. It is episode number 858 for this, the last day of February, the 28th of 2021. Sorry, you'll have to wait for a leap year for a 29-day February. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts for the last just about coming up on 1 year. We've been taping over Discord, like many folks have been doing, whether it be in their personal lives, professional lives. You've been doing some type of virtual recording and virtual meetings and virtual spaces, I'm sure. And we are no different. So say hello virtually to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
It's been a week, but I'm doing okay today. I had what I like to call a day of nothing.
I love days of nothing.
It's an empty day.
An empty day. It's very good. And relaxation days are the best. I took a random day off work this week because Tuesday would have been my mom's 80th birthday. And I just know my brain would have been in a weird space had I tried to work. So I took a nothing day, and it was glorious. It really was.
My grandmother's yard site is coming up. My maternal grandmother, the one who pretty much raised me.
Yeah.
So I feel you there.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to take. You can take a time to remember, but also take time for yourself. Anyway, Well, let me awkwardly switch topics here, because something I wanted to ask you about as well at the top of the show here was about the news that came out this week about Fry's Electronics finally went under. And I know that sounds really horrible when I'm like, finally went under. But I don't know about you, Jamie, but I went to one. Like, I think it was November of 2019. It was a few months before all this pandemic stuff. And I walked in there going, oh, this is bad. Like, this store's like half empty. This is real bad. This is not going to end well. I'm actually shocked they held out this long. But what are your thoughts? Because I know you enjoyed the occasional trip to Fry's back in the day, too. Okay, I think Jamie's computer might have frozen, and sometimes this happens to us. I know she's been getting very frustrated with her system because sometimes it lags. So I'm just going to skip ahead. Sometimes these tech issues happen. I know she'll join us back when she can. Let me go over to Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hey.
Hey, and what are your thoughts on the whole Fry's thing, since I didn't really get to ask Jamie? How are you doing with all that?
I'm kind of with you on that. Like, it looked like they were already out of business, like, 2 years ago, so I'm not surprised. I'm kind of disappointed. I did like going around in Fry's, and actually before that, Incredible Universe, when that was around. I'm hoping that Micro Center moves in, but it's probably going to be more of like, one of those Halloween stores instead.
Those buildings are so elaborate. Well, it depends on which one you go to, right? Like, you know, and I also know this chain is a little more heavy on the West Coast. Like, I know Bobby was talking about one in the Atlanta area, and I know there was one in Vegas, and there's the occasional Fry's that are kind of scattered throughout the country, but I think mainly it was a West Coast thing, specifically like Silicon Valley. And I think that's why you're hearing a lot about it this week, because those stores, especially in like, you know, the San Jose area and all that stuff, were quite legendary, I think. So it is a loss for those of us in California, I think. But anyway, a lot of those stores had those very elaborate themes. Not so much the one that used to be Incredible Universe here locally, but the one out in Roseville that they built, maybe 10 years ago. It's not that old. Is very elaborate with the train crashing through the building and all that stuff.
Their UFO one's kind of similar to that.
Yeah.
The one because I was going to Fry's back when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. back when that was the one in San Jose, or maybe actually Milpitas, I think. And back then it was just a warehouse. It was just just a bare warehouse with computer stuff.
Yep.
And that was great. Yeah. But then I know that one later became, I think, like that, like Aztec theme or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed, you know, even Incredible Universe and stuff when it was here. It was just so big. And Fry's was awesome because, you know, I was super excited to have that come here. One, I was used to going to the one in the Bay Area and just like kind of went downhill from there. I mean, I get it, like online and everything, you know, it's, you know, definitely competing. But then again, you have like, you know, Micro Center that's doing just fine. So yeah, it's like, I, from what I gather, and like I even posted this a little bit on Twitter, from the distribution side, because they did carry games. We always used to have vendors come out to our company and stuff, and we'd have like mixers and stuff like that. And you would hear them talking about Fry's and how they were real pain to work with, just always trying to cut the costs like as low as possible and trying to like do all sorts of crazy consignment deals and stuff like that. Just sounded like a pain to work with, and based on like they were having some issues with vendors and supply chain and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if that sort of contributed towards all of this. But yeah, they've been hurting for a long time.
Going to chat for some comments. Tiger Claw in chat says, I know it can be disheartening when a store you had fond memories are going to close down, and then the place it used to be becomes a different store, sometimes a local discount store or something. Oh, yeah. The space that becomes the Halloween store, or the space that becomes another Goodwill, or 99 cent, those type of deal places are everywhere. You know, it's it is a little bit disheartening. Sometimes, though, you get an upgrade. Once in a while, like especially like restaurant spaces, you might actually get an upgrade. For example, over by the mall, Hooters closed down, right? And what took its place? Sizzler. I say upgrade. Some may argue with me, but I say upgrade.
Yeah, we had a barbecue place going in the Hooters in Rancho here.
Oh, so, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how good that barbecue place is, but I'm sure it's a step up from whatever with the Hooters was.
And sadly, yeah, I think the Sizzler is actually closed during this whole pandemic too, because they've been having issues. I think it's like going to be a crab house.
Yeah,
or something.
It's kind of hard to have a salad. It's kind of hard to have like a buffet and salad bar during a pandemic.
Yeah, a little bit.
I really do hope like a Micro Center or something comes in, because I do like shopping at those places. I get it that I could just order through like Amazon or Newegg or something like that, and that does work sometimes. But sometimes you just want to be able to get it right away, like you ordered everything through Newegg and all that, and it gets, you know, shipped to you, and you're building it, and you're like, oh dang, you know, I need a cord, or I need, yeah, a specialty cable or something.
And that was my question. So I'm looking at chat, because again, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's VOG Network, at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And we do have a live chat where you can participate along with the show. And we like to read some of your thoughts on air. And sometimes you guys end up steering the direction of the show. So Pod Culture says, I miss old school Radio Shacks. And Tiger Claw says, yeah, we used to have a Radio Shack here. The place it used to be became a Boost Mobile store. I thought there was a thing with like Sprint and Radio Shack. But anyway, that's not actually what I want to get into. It's about the components. Where are you going to go now when, yeah, you need that type of, you know, drilling it down to those components? Because Radio
Online.
Shack was a place to get...
Fry's was too. That's where I used to go, because I'd rather,
yeah, exactly,
go to Fry's than Radio Shack, because... Yeah. Fry's had more of a selection, and it wasn't a big old mess.
Bingo.
And on top of that, like, they also had all the Raspberry Pi stuff, so you can get, like, you know, Raspberry Pis and all the enclosures, yeah, and everything for that. So it was really nice. Plus, they had, like, you know, all sorts of things there. I used to get, like, all sorts of PC things. I built PCs from there.
So where are you going to randomly find that shit now? Like, you have to do it online? What if I don't want to wait for online? I
mean,
feel like there's a space.
Best
Buy doesn't really sell stuff that...
No.
Granular, though, you know what I mean? Like, if I want to build my own computer, I'm gonna have to do that online. Now, granted, Fry's has been kind of a crappy place to do that for a while, you know, as they've been slowly dying. But anyway, I do want to also say, this is something to point out, Fry's is also a grocery store. I've seen that when I was visiting friends in Tucson.
Yes.
I saw Fry's grocery stores everywhere. I believe they have roots in the same owners, but they are not the same thing otherwise. They're like two,
yes,
different companies.
I also, ironically, in the Bay Area, when I used to live down there, I would shop at a Fry's grocery store.
Okay.
Which I think before that was an Alpha Beta, too. That was, yeah, that's super old. But yeah, we used to have Fry's grocery stores as well. And I want to say that the logos are almost pretty similar.
They're very similar, yeah.
So, I don't know if it's related, but yeah, completely different stores.
I think the owners are. I think like there, it's something tight. Somebody will have to read, cram the wiki article really fast. But there's a reason. You know how like the front of Fry's Electronics sells a lot of like nerd food type of thing? Like they, like if you, you know how they had it set up where you were kind of like trapped in the line. The line waiting to get to the,
yes.
Yeah, and they would have all that just crap food in the aisle and all the last minute buys, like all these candies, you know, import things like Ramune drinks and the other things that there's always. I think that is actually tied to the grocery thing somehow. Like it's a similar distributor. So I think their roots are in similar places. So it's just, it's, but it's, they became two different companies or something.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to see. And so, yeah.
Isn't this what you wanted to listen to our video game podcast about tonight? Well, unfortunately, Dark Soccer is having computer problems, so I guess we're buying her a little time here, but we will move on here in a moment. Loki's trying to cram the wiki article.
Yeah, I'm trying to look here, see if it's related. I see that, you know, it's not owned by the same company, so I think it was owned by Fred Meyer at one time. I think it's it's merged with, like, Kroger or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's, necessarily.
I thought they had their roots in the same place.
The logo is exactly the same. So, like, I can't imagine that it's different.
All right. Well, forget it. Let's move into other stuff. Actually, before we get into the official first topic I had for tonight, a lot of folks in our chat are wondering about what is playing behind you tonight. I recognize it, but do you want to explain? And again, of course, we do have our podcast listeners. They don't see anything, although, of course, we love you guys. So, you know, but tell us a little bit about this visual that's behind you tonight.
This is a classic DOS game, Scorched Earth. So it's a tank combat game where you have to put in your angle and velocity as well as select weapons to destroy other AI controlled or player controlled tanks. So like super old, but it's an excellent game.
Okay. Yes. So, yeah, one of
like
my favorites.
Like Worms, but before Worms.
Before that. Yeah, I think we did it as a classic game. Not that long ago. It was during this whole pandemic era. So, yeah, we talked a lot about it. But I couldn't tell you the episode number. But we have that lovely wiki that our fans take care of. I don't think I've ever made an edit on that wiki that I know of. Maybe like a small thing. But our fans take care of that wiki. And you can go figure out what episode number Scorched Earth was on. Because I know we did it. Or did we do Tank Wars, the other one? One of the two. Maybe both. I don't know. Forget it.
I think we...
It had to be Scorched Earth. All right. Who cares? We gotta move on. Let's talk about our first topic tonight. I wanted to talk about...
Sorry. To go back to Fry's Electronics, it was owned by the same guy, Charles Fry. He sold the supermarket chain to Dillon's back in 1972.
Oh, it was owned by the same guy for a long time. Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm glad we have that settled. That's what I thought. They were on the same path, and then they like diverted, I thought was the thing, and one became the electronics and the other became the grocery. Okay. Now that we have that settled, can we talk about something that's a little younger than the roots of Fry's Electronics, but it's still something that's hit a milestone this week, namely yesterday, the Pokemon series turned 25 years old as they celebrated the release of Pokemon Red and Pokemon Green in Japan, which, of course, was changed for us to Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue for reasons and things. So the whole series has turned 25, and obviously the Pokemon folks did some celebration stuff over the weekend, namely that big concert they were hyping, that digital Post Malone concert where Post Malone covered Hootie and the Blowfish as the Pokemon song.
That's which weird.
It wasn't bad, but it's definitely one of those like things I didn't guess 2021 had in store for 500, Alex. Like I didn't. Like, it's just one of those, like I think I saw a tweet even that said, Post Malone covers Hootie and the Blowfish for Pokemon 25th anniversary. And the response said, this tweet only got more and more wild the more I read it. Like, the more it goes on, seriously. But anyway, they were doing that, you know, celebration thing for that. And then, of course, there was a big direct that happened where they had some pretty big announcements. Before we talk about the direct, I want to talk about, you know, last week we talked a little bit about Zelda as a franchise turning 35 and kind of what that series has meant for us. I'm curious if you have any Pokemon memories. I'm bummed Jamie's not back with us yet, so I can't ask her. But Loki, do you have any Pokemon franchise memories or series memories you'd like to kind of get into and share?
Not really, because I didn't really get into Pokemon until much later. I mean, and even then, it's kind of been, you know, lukewarm, I guess. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, Pokemon Go, I think, is probably the most notable thing. Really, the only, like, Pokemon game I've played is just Pokemon Let's Go. Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't too involved in Pokemon.
I will say that when Pokemon first came out, I was in college, and I was, well, first came out in the States, because, you know, it was a couple of years behind in the States. But I really got into the anime. My friends and I would watch the stinking anime. I had, like, DVDs. I think I still have some over here of, like, some of the early episodes of Pokemon, and we used to watch, like, the whole, like, first season anime. But I never super got into the games because I was not a huge Game Boy person. And so I feel like I bought Pokemon Yellow. I remember I bought a Game Boy Color that was like when you turned it on, it was Pikachu's cheek that turned red. Like that whole thing, it was like a Pikachu Game Boy Color or something. I had that, and I remember playing a little bit of Pokemon on that, but I always had a hard time with the grind of the series. I feel like I probably bought one of them from like every generation. But in classic Rob style, I never got very far in them until this most recent one, Sword and Shield, I finally beat. And it's like the first mainline. It's actually my favorite mainline game. I know as controversial as that one's been, it's the one that really hooked me in. I thought there was just a lot of quality of life improvements that really made it a lot of fun to play. And now it's making me a little bit excited about, you know, getting to revisit some of these older games through remakes and, you know, whatever else. I know there was that rumor about a Switch kind of like the first couple generations coming out in some type of, it appears that's not happening now because we would have heard about that in the Pokemon Direct, but that would have been very exciting. Like you, Pokemon Go has been huge. I kind of couldn't believe it when I first heard about it, having been playing Ingress for a year or two before they announced that. And then, but Pokemon Go is a heck of a lot of fun and a good way to introduce people to the franchise as well, for sure.
I'm surprised we didn't have another Let's Go game. Like I get, you know, the Diamond and was it Diamond Pearl that they have coming out? Sort of kind of resemble that art style, but it's not quite. Actually, oddly enough, it actually looks worse. Like, I kind of prefer the art style of Let's Go. Uh-huh. I don't know why they just didn't do that. Like, just put it in that art style. Like, it looks really weird.
All right, well, let's talk about what they announced at the Direct then, since we're kind of leading into that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Brilliant Diamond and we have Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. They're going to be remakes of Diamond and Pearl, obviously, and they are being ported to the Switch. Actually, now that I look at the art style, it doesn't look that bad. There's another one I looked at. Maybe it's the overworld art that's not so great. But yeah, it's supposed to be a remake, and they have like a chibi 3D art style for the top down part of the world. That's the problem. That's the thing that I didn't necessarily care for.
Yeah,
the rest of the game looks okay.
I see Shane is in chat, and obviously he's been talking to me a lot about this, and I know he's not really into the art style either. He's very upset with it. Shane, if you want to state your perspective, join Discord, and I'll bring you into the private channel if you have a way to talk to us. But I didn't hate the look of it. Like, I kind of get what they're trying to do. Like, they're trying to do a 3D style of what the older game looked like. And, you know, I get for some people it's kind of a misfire because I think they were really expecting and they'd set that bar for Generation 4 to be done within the Sword and Shield engine. And this does appear to be a bit of a downgrade on that. But I don't hate it.
Okay.
I'm more excited about the fact that, like, it should, and it better, tie into, like, Pokemon Home, and it'll be a good way to play into all of that as well. Okay, I see Shane did join the channel and wants to have his say. So, hi, Shane, how are you?
I'm fine. This just gets me out of doing more homework.
It's fine.
That's all that matters.
So, I'm sure, okay, so Dark Soccer is having computer problems tonight, so I'm happy to have you fill in for a little bit. Tell us, what is the problem you're having and if you guys don't know Shane, he's been around the network and OLR for a very long time and is definitely our hardcore Pokemon fan of the bunch. Just for anybody who's new to OLR, let us reemphasize what a hardcore fan you are. Shane, how many copies of Pokemon's 8th generation do you own?
Hold on. I got to count digital. Probably 8.
8? And why do you need 8 copies, which would be like 4 swords and 4 shields? Why do you need 8 copies?
Because I do. I have a whole bunch of switches. They all have to be played at the same time. And if I don't have multiple copies, how can I play them all at the same time?
It's like that dude in Japan playing Pokemon Go with the yes. giant like array.
Yeah, basically.
There.
Yeah, and
that's the other thing about Shane that cracks me up is he has this love-hate relationship with Pokemon Go where he's like when the game first came out, you were like super into it. And then you got
Because it was so much more fun.
You got really mad when they changed the radar and you quit and you're like, it's a garbage game. And then, of course, after like 3 months, you came back and you do this whole like love-hate thing where you're like, Pokemon Go is garbage. I'm never playing it again. And then 3 months, they yeah. do something and you're like, okay, I'm playing again.
Well, it's like, oh, there's a shiny I can get that I like. Okay, I got to start playing. And oh, well, Oshawott's in the game. Oh, I gotta play.
Well, and now, to be fair, because of Pokemon Home, like Pokemon Go has a very legit purpose here. For example, like the shiny Mew. Even though that quest is a royal pain in the ass in Pokemon Go, like as I understand it, Shane, correct me if I'm wrong. I know you will. But shiny Mew is not obtainable in the main game, unless you hack or something. It's not obtainable yeah. legitimately in the mainline games right now. But there is a purpose to get this in Pokemon Go and bring it into the mainline games. You will have a legitimate shiny Mew for your mainline game, except I don't think you can send mythic Pokemon to the bay. Or no, I guess you can, because I think I said
no, you can.
Metal there. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. And that was the only way I could get a shiny Genesect was okay. by playing Go. So I did that, and so now my Sword and Shield has shiny Genesect just kind of hovering about behind me.
Okay.
He's awesome.
So. All right. So what's your take on this Gen 4 announcement, and why are you a little more sour on it?
Okay. So first of all, sorry, I don't like Gen 4. Gen 4 was not great. Heart Gold, Soul Silver were fine. Platinum was pretty good. Diamond and Pearl suck. So and it's not because of the Pokemon. It's just the game is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was kind of going into it half excited for these anyway. But every time they've done a remake, it's been kind of the same art style as the current generation. So when you had Fire Red and Leaf Green, it looked very similar to Ruby Sapphire. When you had Heart Gold, Soul Silver, it looked like Diamond Pearl. And you know, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire had that look of X and Y still. But this time, like, I don't know. They're trying to, it's not Game Freak that's making it. It's a different company. It's the people that actually make Pokemon Home. Mm-hmm. And they just went with, like, a weird chibi 3D version of the game. They didn't try to make really, it doesn't look to me at least like they made any attempt to upgrade it or God, I would like Loki was saying, I'd take a Let's Go game at this point. And that was like my worst fear was it was going to be a Let's Go game.
Yeah. You were not having it. You were not happy to hear it might be like a Let's Go type of thing.
Yeah. And we're in a weird situation where I wish that's what happened. I honestly, if they could change the overworld character models, I would be a little bit better. But this looks like a bad cell phone game ripoff. That's what it looks like to me. It's just the colors are weird. Everything, there's no life to it. It's mm-hmm. just very much trash.
And just a real quick note for those that are live with us. Sorry for the awkward shot on the Twitch, but I was not prepared to have an extra host tonight joining us for a little bit. But I also see the Dark Sakura is back. Hooray. So, okay. We're just talking about Pokemon. I'm getting obviously I had to go to the expert to talk about Pokemon. Okay. So I know you're a little more excited about this other announcement, though. So let me mm-hmm. let Loki talk about it first, as he usually does.
Yeah, so they have this other game called Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Arceus?
Yeah, I don't know how you pronounce it.
It depends on what like region you're in. It's Arceus here, Arceus in Japan.
Okay, we'll say Arceus then. And it's basically kind of the Sinnoh region, but you know, a long, long time ago. So it's like the first generation. I don't know if it's the first generation of Pokemon trainers or whatever, but it takes place a long time in the past. And the game is set up like very open world, almost resembles Breath of the Wild a bit, which has me concerned considering the last game kind of chugged in the open world areas, but I'm hopeful that it's better. Mm-hmm. But the gameplay does look a little bit different as well. They had some gameplay in the trailer showing that you just throw a Pokeball to catch one of the actual Pokemon in the game. It looks cool, but I don't know. Be interesting to see. Well, what do you guys think?
I'm interested. I want to know a little bit more about the gameplay, like how it actually plays. But I kind of like the fact that it seems like, you know, because there were rumors about like, oh, the Gen 4 remake is going to be Let's Go style. And it seems like it kind of was like really off, but in a really good way. Like this really feels like an evolution of the Let's Go format into an evolved Generation 4 that's got this. Oh, it's not, I don't know, it's Sinnoh, but it's like it's actually got Pokemon from other gen, because you have the mixed starters and all this stuff. So I'm into this, how different it is, but to me I feel like it's still a spinoff. But I guess that's not the case, right, Shane? You were saying they are treating this like a main series game, right?
Correct. It's categorized as a main series game. So yeah. Even though it has, according to the product details, no multiplayer at all, like, so no connectivity to other people, no trading. Mm-hmm. It's just a straight up action RPG is what it's also classified as. So that's interesting. But it is super exciting, and I am so happy for it.
And this is completely 100% biased because Oshawott is one of the starters. Your absolute favorite Pokemon. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. That made me so happy because it means we're going to get more Oshawott merchandise. He's going to have...
I asked you this question the other night, and I'm going to ask you on air, and don't give me the line about it doesn't make sense for the lore. Just go with the question. What if that water starter had been like Squirtle instead of Oshawott? Don't give me the lore answer. Just you have felt? No.
The lore answer actually matters. But it doesn't also, because there are... No, it does matter, because it could have also been Froakie, and that would have been fine.
No,
I don't care. I don't care. I'm still going to respond the proper way. So there are only so many starters that could have been based on what we assume is because of what their final evolutions are based off of. So Water could have been Oshawott or Froakie, and either one would have been fine. But the fact that it's Oshawott makes the game 70 million times better than it could have been.
All right, fine. But let's talk about the gameplay a little bit. So are you excited about the actual gameplay of it all? Or what is that about, like, the whole, like, format change there that kind of excites you?
It's just something different. That's really all that, like, makes me excited for the main game itself. I want to go around and just throw Pokeballs at dumb Pokemon and catch them. I think that's cool.
Do you get like, maybe it might be like a Diablo kind of Pokemon, because it's kind of like that action RPG kind of thing. Like, that's the part that's interesting to me. I hope it's a loot shooter.
Well, so there are leaks that came out apparently right before this got announced. Okay. And there's a lot of different things about that kind of can point you in one direction of how this game is going to go.
How often are these leaks actually legit, though?
No, but this is a legit leak, because it got actual screens from the trailer, and it had, it had the entire concept with in-game screenshots, I'm guessing hours. I don't know. I did not want to look at any leaks before the announcement, so I don't know what the period was. I just know it was that morning before the actual announcements.
All right.
Yeah. And see, ActF says this one is legit. And also really quick, Phoenix7726 asked me if it was Mudkip, would I be okay? And yeah, I think that would be like the lower tier of being okay, but I would have been okay. Because then I could just go to Rowlet. I would have picked Rowlet instead.
All right. And I do want to acknowledge, usually I wait until the show is over to read this type of stuff live on air, but I do want to acknowledge the hype train in chat that's going on right now. And thank you very much for that. You guys are really awesome. You don't have to give us any money, but you do with your bits and your subs, and that means an awful lot. So I just want to say
you're
big
welcome.
Thanks and congrats. Yeah, you started that, didn't you, Dark Saga?
Well, yeah, just because Shane's in on the show. Hi, Shane. I miss
Hi.
You.
All right.
I look like a cat, but hi.
Okay. Yeah. standing in for Mr. Smush tonight is Shane. All right. Anyway, what else do we need to ask Shane about Pokemon before we let him go?
We need to also say really quick that since it takes place in the past, there are possibilities that we could get like different forms of Pokemon that we haven't seen, or just new ones that have gone extinct by now from when we played in the Sinnoh region. So there's a lot that they could do with this, which just makes it more exciting, I think.
All right. Any last things on the Pokemon game, Shane, before I let you go so we can get back to our show?
No.
All right.
Yes. So also, according to the leaks, if you don't have a Pokemon with you, wild Pokemon can attack you and beat you up. So
cool.
Like you always. Yeah. There's a screenshot of that too. So that's pretty neat.
Now I wish it was multiplayer so I could breed attack Pokemon. That would be cool.
What if it was like Xenoblade Chronicles X and then like you get into big mecha Pokemon and you fly around and stuff? That'd be really fun.
That would be awesome. I'd love that. All right. I'm going to let you go, Shane. Have a good one.
Thanks
for joining us spontaneously. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right. Let's go back to the shot that we're actually supposed to use for the show. There we go. All right. I had to improvise there. Hi, Dark Soccer. Welcome back. Sorry to hear about the computer issues.
I hate this piece of shit.
Oh, and I hate to say it, but you sound like a robot now, and I don't know if that's your computer or what's going on.
Just lean into it.
I don't know about that.
I sound normal to myself. Hold on, I'll leave Discord and come back.
Yeah, leave Discord and come back. Maybe that'll do the trick. All right. Meanwhile,
you have to exterminate first.
All right, she's not going to do that just because you want. All right, while Dark Soccer reboots Discord, any last things on the Pokemon announcements we need to get to?
Do I sound now?
Oh, yeah, you sound better. Yay, much better. Thanks, Jamie.
I didn't get to say exterminate, sorry.
All right.
That's all right.
Any last things on Pokemon?
I am not a Dalek.
Any last things on Pokemon, Loki?
I was going to say the new footage of the Pokemon Snap was pretty awesome, too.
Oh, yeah.
That game when it
I'm getting
out.
That game. Easy.
Absolutely,
I forgot to ask Shane about that. I think Shane told me he like hasn't played Pokemon Snap or something. Like,
yeah, it looks great.
He missed that one.
I don't remember the first game too much. I mean, I know we played it a bit, but like, I don't remember if there was like any underwater stuff like that. But I like how they're taking you kind of to the different, you know, biomes or whatever to kind of catch Pokemon. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Dark Soccer, before we shift into our gaming weeks, unfortunately with your computer issues, you missed our little bit on the Pokemon talk, but I'm curious if you have any thoughts either on A, the new announcements this week, or B, Pokemon as a franchise since it's turned 25, if it's something that's meant anything to you.
I had my moment with Pokemon and then, I took something for it. You know, I was always more into Digimon, right?
I know. But can't we love both?
We can love both, but okay. I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it as an insult or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I always found Pokemon to be a lot more juvenile.
Okay. I mean,
and that really is the market it's targeted for, right?
And that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not intended as an insult or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back and say Pokemon Snap, I'm all over that because that was my jam. I like the stuff that's more like that. You know, I think that it was the grindy bits of the Pokemon games that are something that I just never quite cared for. You know, if I want to grind, I'll play an MMO.
And it also brings up a good point that, like, even if you aren't into the mainline games, like, Pokemon has so many spinoff games that there's literally something in it for everybody. Like, you know, maybe you're more into the Pokemon Go is a huge thing for. I know a lot of people that play Go and like nothing else. I know people that, you know, enjoy Snap like you do. I think this Legends game is going to bring new people into the franchise, especially on consoles and things that maybe weren't into it before. So that is very true. Pokemon's very diverse in the games. Like, yeah, you have the main line, but you got a lot of spinoff stuff, too.
Yeah. Well, and I like, I think, some of the more spin-off type stuff better. You know, I liked Pokemon Go for a hot minute, and then I got bored. You know, because it was really just no matter what they add to the game, it's always the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just always the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there just really hasn't been much in the way of innovation in the series to keep me interested.
Okay.
You know, that's just kind of, I mean, but I'm glad people love it. And I think that everything is cute. And I, you know, I still want, you know, my Fire Rabbit bunny plushie, you know,
Squirrel
and
bunny?
I still have my Magikarp plushie. I actually do still play Magikarp Jump from time to time.
Okay. There you go. Another spinoff game.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because that game is fucking funny.
It is. It's fun. All right.
And I love the Magikarp song.
See, there's something in it for everybody. That's the song that Post Malone should have covered. Maybe they'll give the Magikarp song to Katy Perry. We'll see. All right, let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we've been playing this week, whether it was Pokemon or something else. Dark Soccer, I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
Speaking of more of the same, I've been playing Animal Crossing. I finally, and it's been one of those weeks where all I want to do is just play the same stuff I play anyway, although we did get a little bit more of Cyber Shadow in. Cyber Shadow is fucking awesome. And Ghosts and Goblins for that Capcom collection, although it doesn't look like anything else is out with that collection yet. Because I tried to go buy Strider, and it says, you can buy Ghosts and Goblins. And I'm like, fuck, I want to play Strider.
You can get them all. It's set up bad. You, for whatever reason, when you go within the game, you don't see it. If you go into the eShop from the main menu and go in that way, you can find everything. I got thrown by that too.
Yeah.
You can do it on Nintendo's website too. Actually, that might have been how I ended up doing it.
But I know that Dan is going to be getting the new one soon. We just have had other things to do.
Sure.
But I actually am redoing part of Sakarina's house, my alt. And I have made a kitchen where the laundromat was. Yes, I had a laundromat in one of my alt's house. And I'm going to be redoing the front room into a sushi restaurant.
Cute. I love that. All right. Let's go to Loki. How was your gaming week, Loki?
It was all right. So I played a little bit of Skyrim on the Switch because I was helping my son get the Nintendo Switch exclusive armor and weapons because they had the Link stuff, but it was at the top of the throat of the world. So I had to show him the power of the Skyrim horse and its ability to climb up vertical walls. And so we were able to bypass parts of the game that they wanted us to complete before we got all that. So we were able to do that at level like 5. So that was fun. And I, you know, showed them also the glitches in the game, like some of the exploits to get to the vendor chests to be able to steal stuff out of there and all that. Then I also played a bit of Minecraft, been working on the amusement park in our realm. So start off with, I'm migrating over the villagers I have kind of trapped in a house to move them over to these giant versions of like a crafting table and blast furnace and smoker. They're going to be inside these giant buildings that resemble that stuff. So I've been building the buildings for that and terraforming and stuff like that. So I did that and actually worked on my game quite a bit. So I had to rewrite the input engine to allow for multiple characters without dragging the game to a crawl, because the way that Nestmaker is set up, if you want to have multiple characters that you set up to actually play as, you have to assign them inputs, and the longer that input list gets, the more slower or the longer it takes each frame to process that. And then eventually it slows down to the point where it's unplayable. So I fixed that it doesn't do it. So now, once the special edition comes out, you know, name pending, there will be female playable characters if you want. So that'll be something that's in there as well. Right now, I'm just trying to figure out how to cram more music in there and not having a lot of luck because of the way they have that set up. So it can be done. I just don't know how to split it up yet.
All right.
So that's what I've been doing this week.
All right, even though you finally released a game, which if you haven't checked it out yet, Pixel Poops number 2 on Steam or itch.io, check it out. And but you're not done. The work is not done because now we got to work on the special
edition.
Yeah,
this is for the physical release. So I was planning on adding some more content for the physical release and then doing a free upgrade for everybody that purchased it. So
all right, cool.
We'll do that.
All right, my gaming week. So I'm still, yet again, having a very Final Fantasy heavy week. Still playing Final Fantasy 14, as I always do. Finally got my Dragoon to level 80, so I think I only have like 5 jobs left to get to level 80, and then literally everything. Crafting, gathering, magic, melee, tank, all of it will be 80. But I still have a few more jobs to do with that. I've also been playing more Final Fantasy 12. I am a lot further in the game than I was last time I played through it. I think I have about 24 hours in on that now. I don't know how to describe where I'm at. Old Arcadius, whatever that town is, that those that have played the game, again, I'm trying to be spoiler free, but you kind of navigate your way to the capital and you have to take a really long route to get there. I finally got through that route and had to kill another boss that did a pretty good job of messing up my party by casting Doom a lot, but I was able to make it work and kill that boss and got to Old Arcadius, I think is the name of the town. For those that have played through the game, that's about where I'm at. So I don't know if that's... I think I've got to be at least past the halfway point, but I do also feel like I've got a long way to go still. So we'll see. I also played, because I was like, what other Game Pass games should I check out? I played Overcooked 2 this week, which I've played...
God.
It's cute. I've played it as a multiplayer game before. I know when like JD and I were hanging out, like he really likes that game, and like I've done like a 4-player game of like maybe that was the first Overcooked. I don't know. We've played several of those games, but I never had played the single player version before, where you have to use the left bumper to actually control two characters, kind of. And that's so like while one is chopping up like cucumber or something, you have to go have another go boil the rice. It's kind of interesting and very hectic and micromanaging. But that's a fun game. That's a cute little like short time waster, and I'm glad that also exists on Xbox, as well as something that I can drop hours in at a time, like Final Fantasy 12. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I realized how much data I had left for February and downloaded all the Final Fantasy games that are on Game Pass, even though I bought Zodiac Age for PS4. So did I, but like there's something about playing it on Series X where the loading times are like that, where I'm like, dang, this is, really, it's great to play through it again. And I'm even further than I've ever been before. And yeah, today's the last day of the month. I did the same thing. I was like, okay, I have still like 400 gigs till I get to my cap. I hate that the cable stuff is like this now, but I was like, what else can I download today? I actually downloaded, I never thought I would finally like be willing to play this and get into this. I downloaded Dead by Daylight because, and I brought this up a couple weeks ago, but Alan, my husband, now does streaming. So shout out, you should follow him here on Twitch at Alan Alchemy. And he's been doing a pretty good job streaming like 3 times a week. I think he did 4 the other week. And he hit affiliate and all that good stuff. And he streams a lot of Dead by Daylight. So, I mean, I've watched him play it over his shoulder before, but now I've actually been able to kind of like watch him kind of like for an extended period, like really play the game. And I'm like, maybe I could get into this, except I don't really want to play it as a survivor. I just want to play the killer. So it'd be fun.
Do any of the Silent Hill stuff?
He has, yes, he's gotten that map. He's had Pyramid Head as the killer, who has apparently a unique finish fatality type of move. I forget what they call it in that game, but there's unique ways you can finally finish people off, and Pyramid Head has kind of unique ones. So, I finally picked that up thanks to Alan's influence. I don't know what killer I'll play yet, though. Pyramid Head would be an awful lot of fun, but Alan's trying to tell me, of course, he's like, oh, you're going to play? Okay, these are the killers that I think would be easiest and you'd be into. So he's making other suggestions for me. So we'll see what happens. Will Alan and I play together? I don't know, because I want to be a killer and I don't really want to murder my husband. But I guess, we've all had our days. So I guess virtual is a good way to do it. Take out the aggressions. I don't think you can really set up, because it's all matchmaking. So whatever. Anyway. All right. Let's get into some other news from the week. We'll start with Loki.
All right. So we talked a little bit about the whole Pokemon event that they had, but that wasn't the only event that was out there. Also, they had a PlayStation State of Play, which they announced quite a few different things coming out in PlayStation. So starting off, they showed off a little bit of Crash Bandicoot 4. It's About Time. That's going to be coming with some PlayStation 5 upgrades. And so that's going to be launching actually in a couple weeks here on March 12th. They showed some gameplay for Returnal, which is a roguelike third-person game. And that's coming out on April 30th. Knockout City, which we kind of saw back in that Nintendo Direct not too long ago. That's launching on May 21st. Solar Ash looked pretty awesome. It's kind of definitely resembles Hyper Light Drifter because it's by the same creators.
Yeah,
that's coming out on PlayStation 4 and 5. Oddworld Soulstorm looks pretty awesome. That's April 6th. We saw some more of Kena Bridge of Spirits, and that's out on the 21st. Yet again, more gameplay of Deathloop. Still coming out this year, May 21st. And then, of course, one of the biggest things that they showed off is Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, which is going to be the PlayStation 5 update as well. And then on top of that, you also get an additional, I guess, section of the game or content featuring Yuffie as well. And so that's pretty exciting. Plus, if you own the PlayStation 4 version, you'll be getting Intergrade for free. And they even have like save data transfer with that as well. And that's supposed to be coming out, looks like, on June 10th.
That was a very pleasant surprise. I mean, I'm not surprised at all. And I know I've said on this show, you fully can expect that they are going to release that Final Fantasy VII remake on PlayStation 5. Bet your money on it. But where I was wrong, and I'm more than happy to be wrong on this, is I thought, like the previous international editions, Zodiac Age, whatever, you know, definitive editions that Square does of games, I thought they would charge full price for it all over again. And that's where I ended up being wrong, is that apparently you can get the upgrade from the PlayStation 4 version of the game for free. Now, there are a lot of footnotes with this. I know later you're going to talk about the PlayStation Plus, but I think we should just kind of mention now, obviously the Final Fantasy VII is going to be part of PlayStation Plus, so you can get that for free, but that will not cross over to a PlayStation 5 version of the game. So just because you get it for, so only the retail copies of Final Fantasy VII, whether digital or whatever, are going to translate to PlayStation 5. And that Yuffie, which really strikes me more as an episode, like a side story, it doesn't look like it's integrated into the main game. It looks like its own chapter-based thing, maybe one or two chapters, maybe four, who knows. It's like the Final Fantasy 15 DLC to me. Like, it's a whole side episode that happens to have Yuffie, and they are charging money for that. But I think they're allowed. It's that again, yeah. I would not have guessed that. I would have thought that they would have, like, made Red 13, you know, playable in the appropriate parts of the game as it is. I did not expect them to go full, like, adding Yuffie into the Midgar lore, which, remember, wasn't a part of the first game. Well, I don't want to eat my words.
I thought you could get her in Midgar.
She wasn't included in the ending.
Say that again, Jamie?
She was like a bonus character, her and Vincent were.
Yeah, but you didn't get them till after Midgar. They were in the regular. So that's my point.
I thought there was a place that you could get her in Midgar though, but it was extremely rare.
Oh.
It was right there by there was like a playground that you could. No. Huh.
No, because you had to go get her on Wutai and answer certain questions to be able to get her.
Yeah. So
Vincent was in another town.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, regardless, I don't think most people would have picked up that you could get her in Midgar. And obviously she's got a whole new, you know, other character in there. So she's got this new story that didn't really exist in the lore before. But if you've played Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I don't want to say too much, but there's room for this in the game. And if you've played the game from start to finish, you kind of know what I'm talking about here. And I got to choose my words very carefully. I am going to lift this spoiler ban soon. When that game has been out for a year, I'm going to talk spoilers freely because I have a lot I want to say on this. But I think we still have another couple months to go. But fair warning, I am going to open up spoilers on Final Fantasy VII Remake in April, whenever that game is a year old. So All right. DJ Rama S in chat says, the way Square Enix is redoing the Final Fantasy VII lore and storyline, there's going to be some real pissed off Final Fantasy VII fans. Not if they've played the game. And that's all I can say.
I need to finish
it. It is explained. That's all I can say. All right. Anyhow.
Oh, I was going to mention, too, they also had a new Five Nights at Freddy's game, at least the footage for it. So Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, which kind of looks like it expands Freddy Fazbear's pizzeria into, like, Freddy Fazbear's golf land.
I don't usually get into the Five Nights at Freddy's games because I'm not super big on the way they're set up. But I kind of liked this one, looked a little more like a traditional kind of action horror game. Yeah. And I was kind of into it. So.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, what'd you think of the state of play overall? I heard online a lot of people were saying meh. I thought it was fine. I wasn't like, oh my God, but that Returnal, I'd like sort of had an eye on it, but after seeing the gameplay and hearing more about it, I'm like, okay, I kind of want a PlayStation 5 so I can play that. Like I'm convinced I need to get a PlayStation 5 for that. I want to play the 7 remake again, obviously, and then Final Fantasy 14 on PlayStation 5. There's a lot of stuff coming in these first few months that I really want a PS5 for. Unfortunately, I have some conflicting priorities in my personal life financially right now, so I can't really justify it. And let's be real, they're not exactly still easy to get, unfortunately. But hopefully they get that sorted out in the next few months. I'm assuming by the end of the year, I'm going to have to get one of those because I really want it. So
yeah, I'm sure eventually I'll have to get that. And also there's another story coming up which also has me interested in stuff for that. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, yeah, I was fine with the state of play. Even if it was a lot of follow-up on previously announced stuff, I still kind of feel like that's what left people disappointed about the Direct, was we didn't get a lot of follow-up on previously announced stuff. So it's, I don't know. Anyway, I was fine with it. So
yeah, it's like, are we not going to even address the fact that they talked about Metroid Prime 4? Like, how long ago was that?
Well, yeah, they've been able to kind of hide behind they basically started it over a couple years ago. So that's kind of why. So, but I would say things like Bayonetta 3 and, you know, what's going on, folks? Is that still happening? You know, even like a screenshot would be great. Anyway. But we'll see. It'll be ready when it's ready, I guess. And the pandemic hasn't helped, and everybody having to transition to working home and all that crap certainly hasn't helped the timelines. All right.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some other Final Fantasy VII spinoff games that are going to be happening because, you know, now's a great time to do remasters while we work at home. Although I would call at least the first one of these a little bit more than a remaster. Of course, I accidentally closed the show roll, and now it's very hard for me to get this open again. But I believe the first game that was in here was Ever Crisis, I think was the name, and it's going to be a mobile game.
Yeah.
And it adapts like pretty much all of the Final Fantasy VII side stories. And Jason talked about it in the intro tonight. There's a lot of Final Fantasy VII side stories. It's going to incorporate all of that into one game that allows you to kind of catch up on the story, which makes me think maybe part two of the remake, a little bit more of this is going to be important. Although, again, I can't say too much, but knowing a little bit of one of the side stories will help in the final sequences of the 7 remake. That's all I can say.
It's weird, though, that the like graphics for that Ever Crisis are kind of like a cross between like remade and like the old style, like Final Fantasy VII, you know, the original.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. You know, honestly, like, okay, mobile. All right. I understand mobile can do a lot. You know, those little devices, whether they're Apple or Android, doesn't matter. They both can process very powerful little graphics that really rival, you know, what the consoles are doing. But there's still that part of me that's like, so does this mean we get a Switch version? Because that would be cool.
You know, actually, yeah. And is that, like, Ever Crisis that also, like, encompass the full Final Fantasy VII game? Because there's stuff that it looks like it's not just, like, that first episode stuff. It looks like beyond that.
I believe it encompasses everything. It's supposed to be kind of a catch up on all the lore games.
That would be good. I think it should go. I mean, that looks like something that would be able to run on the Switch. So I don't know. Why not?
Now here's the announcement that's a little bit like, I didn't ask for this, but we're getting it. It's called The First Soldier. It's a Final Fantasy VII side project that is a battle royale game. So Final Fantasy meets Battle Royale. And yeah, you even get to use guns in it because it works with the Midgar lore. But you still also have chocobos, spells, summons, and all of that. Everyone in the battlefield will be a Shinra soldier candidate. That's how they set it up. There's solo play and team play. I believe this is also a mobile title. But
it does look mobile, yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to stay there. Fortnite is a mobile title if you think about it. Again, that's another one of those things where I'm like, I didn't ask for this, but with Final Fantasy's name on it, and if it's free, I'll at least probably give it a shot. We'll see.
It looks neat.
Dark Sakura, Final Fantasy Battle Royale. Did you ask for this?
No.
What do you think, though? Like, is it cool that they keep doing all these side stories, or like, stop it?
Give me Dirge of Cerberus instead.
I'm down with that. That was a great spinoff. I know what, you know, the Final Fantasy spinoff I want them to go back to, Theatrhythm. Where is my Switch version of Theatrhythm? And I'm going to keep pounding my fists on the table. I don't know if they're getting picked up by the mic, but I'm mad that we haven't had a new Theatrhythm in a very long time. Do not give me that Kingdom Hearts thing is supposed to be a new Theatrhythm because it sucks. Sorry, not sorry. It sucks. I want Theatrhythm like it was in the arcade. Give it to me.
Mm.
That's all.
I mean, I would want some Advent Children stuff, but, you know.
I would like the game where you can kill Aerith over and over again.
How about it's Battle Royale, but it's you versus 99 Aeriths?
No, I just don't want to see her that much.
Oh. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you want to see more of?
But I'm kidding. Animal Crossing stuff, of course. So they had a trailer that showed that the Sanrio collaboration pack, the Amiibo cards, are going to be out at Target on March 26th. But if you paid more attention to it, you can actually invite the characters, I believe, on the 15th, if I am correct. It's not in this list on here, but it was in the video. It's like the 13th or 15th. For people who might have already imported those cards, but
addicts.
Well, and we knew though. Actually, there was an announcement that those cards are going to be coming out already.
Right.
I think I talked about it like a couple months ago. But the thing is that we didn't know if they were going to be, you know, anything more than just the posters like they currently are. But you actually will get the characters with them. You will get some goodies with them, like furniture sets and clothes and things. So the cards are basically themed to different Sanrio characters. So you get Rila, who's a gorilla, for Hello Kitty. You get Chelsea for My Melody. You get Etoile for Little Twin Stars Kiki Lala. Those are my favorite ones, by the way. You get Chai for Pom Pom Pudding, which I have a little Pom Pom Pudding behind me. Marty for Pom Pom Pudding, Chai for Cinema Roll, and Toby for Kero Kero Keropi. So, it's going to be really awesome. They get very, I think, generic houses themed to them as well. I think it's pretty cute. You know, I absolutely dig, that we're getting the more of the Sanrio stuff. So because they said that the stuff would be available earlier if you already had the cards and we just had that big update installed, basically to get rid of the snow and all that. I actually tested my Sanrio cards today. And the characters aren't available or in the game yet. So I reckon that's going to be in the form of another update. So yeah, But I
need these cards to sell millions and billions so that they'll do another set and give me Bad Bats Maru. But otherwise, this will probably be the thing that gets me to play Animal Crossing again. And I haven't really played it since August. But between this and the Mario content, I'm like, I really need to I need to build.
So, Rob.
Hmm.
These cards actually were part of the Welcome Amiibo set for New Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So these cards are actually out with the previous Animal Crossing game. And from what I'm seeing so far, they're bringing back things that were in the game before, sort of.
Well, they can give me more. I want the Golden Goose.
The other thing, though, that we're not seeing is that there aren't any announcements for releasing the new characters, you know, like Raymond and Dom as their own amiibo cards.
Oh, because those Raymond cards would be nuts.
Yeah. Basically, you have to already have them in your village to be able to invite them for photo ops so you can get their poster.
Mm-hmm.
However, if anyone has any of the new characters and their posters, please send me one. I would love to have them, and I can send you Dom. Dan's all super excited right now because he has what we call the Squid Squad, even though they're octopi. We have all three of the octopi characters.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Or I've been calling them the Octo Squad. But at any rate, I'm pretty excited about the Hello Kitty stuff because you also get little backpacks. And I would legit wear a Kiki Lala backpack because Little Twin Stars is my favorite.
Love it. All right. I'm looking forward to this, too. I can't wait for the characters to be in Animal Crossing. Yay.
Well, and if you have difficulty getting the cards, Rob, I will assist.
Thank you. Because, we know Nintendo can never publish enough, hardware. Although I feel weird calling Amiibo cards hardware. But even the Amiibo can be a pain in the fat ass to find, so I'm very
I like
much
tookist. Pain in the tookist.
Pain in the tookist to find.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the cards if I can find them. So, all right. Let's move on.
Well, Target. Hey, I'll tell you what, Rob.
Mm.
When I am there day one to buy my cards,
mm-hmm.
maybe I'll pick up a second pack for you.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you. I had pretty good luck with Target, though. Target came through with my Xbox Series X. So we're friends right now. You know, friendship ended with Amazon. Now Target is my new best friend. So that's where I'm at right now when it comes to gaming. All right, let's move on. Loki, we might be ending our friendship with somebody else, at least, or putting it on hold for a year, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a big shock that E3 and this year of 2021, with the pandemic still raging on, has been allegedly canceled, according to apparently there is a travel LA tourism document that shows that it has been canceled in form of a basically a digital event. So in the citywide conventions 2021 on the books, they list E3 2021, June 15th, says canceled live event in 2021, working with production team on broadcast options at LA Live, LA Convention Center, working on 2022 and 2023 license. So this is a document that's basically to inform, I think, maybe nearby hotels or whatever, because they have total room nights kind of estimates. So
yeah, it's probably to brace downtown for like staffing levels and things like that.
Yeah.
Cause like, yeah, you want your restaurants to be well staffed and all that stuff. So it's probably for something like that. You know, it was interesting though, reading that document just real quick. I actually looked at that actual document, not just for E3, but to see like kind of like what else they were canceling. And it really seems like everything throughout summer is canceling, but then like kind of like September, nothing has fallen off yet. And that seems to be a trend we're seeing.
Fair, yeah.
I know in his neck of the woods, Bobby Blackwolf was posting about MomoCon, which I think was a June thing, maybe an April thing. I can't remember. Sorry, Bobby. You might have to correct me. But I know they have just decided they're not going to be able to do this year because of everything going on. So they're going to go to 2022, but they're looking at doing potentially a winter fest as kind of like a holdover. But all of this, of course, depends on, you know, where are the numbers at? You know, vaccines, but where are the numbers at? And that's going to be the big driver for what the fall looks like. Like, I think in the summer, we'll probably be having small gatherings again. I think that will, as long as like everybody's vaccinated and stuff, that'll probably be something that you can do relatively low risk. Like we could probably do OLR again. But I think big gatherings are still very risky. Cruises and stuff like that are still very risky. And so people are hopeful for fall, but it's just, the numbers are going to be the driver in that whole situation, period. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
and I don't know what happens with things with Disney. Well, now Disneyland and all that stuff. I saw one for Knott's Berry Farm today too. They're getting creative and they're doing these outdoor events that are like not the rides aren't open, but you can get. I think the Knott's Berry Farm is a whole boysenberry thing, so you can get all this food at outdoor events and stuff like that. So it's interesting. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, I miss my cons, but I understand it's got to be safe. And so it is what it is. E3, I don't miss. Sorry. E3, yeah, I don't miss. You know what?
E3 is too many people.
When we talk about the new normal and how digital is going to be an option for everything, I think, in the future. And I think there's going to be more awareness about these virtual events and digital things. And we've kind of talked about this on previous episodes. I think E3 having to go digital, E3 was already going digital. That was the problem I had with going to the show. I don't want to repeat myself too much, but you know, everything that was frustrating me about the show was because it was already online. What was I really getting from being there? So I think E3 becoming a digital thing for what it is makes a lot of sense. So now things like that are fan driven events with like cosplay and tournaments, which E3 was not for cosplay until they started inviting the public. And, you know, but things like, you know, MAGFest and Dragon Con and your local anime cons, things like that, that is different, you know, and I think those, I would love to see those back in person again, safe numbers, et cetera, et cetera. But I think E3 going digital is kind of like the logical next step for them. So anyway, and Bobby does point out E3 shouldn't be a convention, it's a trade show. Yeah, that is the difference there. E3 trying to become a convention helped kill it. Yeah, E3 was definitely having an identity crisis, that's for sure. So Bob Coffey says Nintendo Directs killed E3. You know, talk all the smack about Nintendo you want, especially when they lag behind the curve in online, but they were the first to say, you know, we're gonna just do our own conference this year online, direct to our fans instead of doing a press conference E3 style, and look at where we're at. So right. Yeah, DJ Rama S says, man, I'm burned out from virtual digital conventions. I get that because it's all we've had for the last year, but I think when it is an option versus the only thing you can do for an entire year, I think you're gonna see a happier medium there. Like, I think it would be like, I don't know if I could get out and fly to something like I don't know, what's a big convention back east? KatsuCon, let's say. I don't know the next time I'm going to be able to attend a KatsuCon in person. But if they had a digital thing, I might check it out. We'll see. So, who knows? All right. Anyway, more to come as the world responds to what's going on. But I think as far as E3 is concerned, a transition to digital made sense for them anyway. So, not really surprised to see it.
I'll be honest. I haven't missed it since the last time I attended. I didn't care.
Well, yeah, E3 in particular, I'm not that torn up about. It's the other conventions I miss, you know, and certainly this domino falls, the others will as well.
Well, thankfully I am in the third group for vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting together the Leia army for Dragon Con 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It'll be cool.
It's how we respond to these mutations and stuff and making sure that enough people get vax. I know everyone here is going to get the vax as soon as we can and we're eligible and it's fair. But if enough people in the world don't get the vax, that's how the virus mutates. So that's, you know, That's the next big issue we're facing here, is trying to get these people that are like, vaccines are going to be microchips and Bill Gates and stuff. We have to call that out for the foolishness that it is, because it's literally going to hurt this and keep this pandemic going. Anyway, but we could do a whole other 3 hours on that. And honestly, if you turn to any cable news channel, you can get 24/7 on that. But let's move on and talk about more negativity. Let's talk about Stadia. I don't want to insult the Stadia fans, because I know there's people that are loyal to Stadia. I'm not out to insult the Stadia fans. I am out to insult
all two of you.
No, I'm out. That's an insult. I'm out to insult the Stadia management. That is who I'm out to insult. And but you know what? They've been insulting their employees and so forth with all that, you know, gassing them up that they're doing great, only to lay them off a week later. So anyway, and now we're hearing about, oh boy, you want to hear about some more fuck ups by management? Here we go. Bloomberg put out a big report this week where it underperformed the sales target by hundreds of thousands of users, even though they spent tens of millions of dollars on their own big blockbuster games to bring over. So, for example, they paid publishers like Ubisoft and Take-Two quite a bit of money to get things like Red Dead Redemption 2 on the service when it released. Of course, the service ended up suffering from a lack of games overall because Google failed to offer enough money, this is according to a Business Insider report, to indie developers to win their games over to its platform. Some people wanted Google to be Stadia and beta first and then growing slowly. But then, of course, they ended up going out to market with a product that wasn't finished. And didn't really call it a beta. And I'm saying it wasn't finished because you had to have the Chromecast to get on. They didn't have that messaging about just being able to go to stadia.google.com to play. So that should have all been the way it was the very first day. The way they rolled it out didn't really work. And then, of course, now we know they are in not the greatest of places. Stadia is still going on. Stadia is not dead. It is an important point to make. But the stuff Stadia was working on for first party is gone. At least there is one victory that can be celebrated in Stadia world. They won Terraria back. They've smoothed things over with Andrew Spinks, who's the developer over at Terraria. You might remember he tweeted a lot of angry stuff being locked out of his Google account. And I think it made us all think about how much shit we have invested in Google and should we put it all there if saying the wrong thing on YouTube will get us banned someday. They've worked their shit out. Gee, I wonder what finally got a human at Google's attention.
We just discussed that they did it. Other companies to port their game over.
And so, hooray, they got Terraria on Stadia. But, and I mean this with all due respect to Andrew Spinks and Terraria. It's a great game. It's available everywhere. It's not something where I'm going to be like, ooh, I got to get Stadia so I can play Terraria. Like, and it doesn't really make the argument for, like, I need a powerful machine to run Terraria. Terraria is cute and popular because you don't need a strong machine to run it. So, like, this game is not the greatest use case scenario for Stadia. Again, that is no disrespect to Terraria, but this is not going to change anything with Stadia's successes or lack thereof. But I'm glad they worked their personal shit out. I wish that they could find a solution for when we all, you know, if I get locked out of my Google account and I don't have a fucking game that Stadia wants, you know, how am I going to get my account back? And we talked about this, how certain other companies have wonderful customer service. Google does not. And that is really hurting them right now. Anyway, looking at our chat, DJ Rama S says you can still buy Chromecast, but then Miltonius Games is saying they were replaced with Google TV. Pod Culture says Chromecast have Google TV. They were not replaced, just changed. In all honesty, guys, and looking at you, do you see where this is also a problem when it comes to Google? That, like, there's a really bad, consistent messaging here?
Yeah.
Google has a lot to think about right now. I'm just saying.
By the way, thanks for reminding me to cancel my sub for Stadia.
You're welcome. All right.
I have my free one. I haven't opened the box.
Yeah. My point is, this shouldn't, and I see the chat is still kind of like, no, Chromecast are there. Yes, there. My point is, this shouldn't even be a question. Like, just to look at a competitor for a minute, this is like saying, is iPhone still a thing? Why yes. iPhone is a thing. Now, there may be different models and different types and different sizes and colors, and all, but yet the iPhones are still there. Yeah, we all know that. And I'm not, again, I'm not saying that to pit one company versus the other. I'm just saying this is where Google's messaging problem is. So, all right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about, oops, I forgot to advance the sidebar. So let's go to Dark Sakura is where we're at now. And you're muted, Dark Sakura, just so you know. You might have muted yourself. It's a hard mute on Discord. I can see the little.
Yeah, I did it. I did it so that I wouldn't eat tacos and churros into the mic.
That's a good thing. You just have to remember to unmute, but that's okay.
I'm a good fucking person. I mean, seriously.
All right.
Although I will let everyone watch me eat the tacos and churros.
Tacos are really... I had tacos yesterday. So I got... Okay, aside for a minute, because I had to message Bobby Blackwolf about the taco I ate yesterday. And I'm going to tell you why. Have you had that local chain here, Chondo's Tacos?
I got sick at Chondo's Tacos, but really? It's just because of the way the food's cooked. I kind of have the same issue with Jim Boy's.
Okay, well, Jim Boy's is really, like, fatty, too. I understand why.
But
that's,
fucking loved the burrito that I had. It was, like, this creamy one. It was so good.
Yeah, the Chondo's Tacos are really good. Like, and they're not
they
paying me to
really
say that.
Good.
They are really good. Loki, have you had it?
I have not had Chondo's yet.
Okay, seek
Although,
it out.
I still prefer Felipe's.
Seek it out, because Chondo's is good, and it's a Sacramento thing. But here's the thing. So why did I message Bobby Blackwolf about the taco I was eating yesterday? Because I heard on the news, Chondo's is expanding. They're going beyond Sacramento. They're going to be opening a new location in Atlanta. They're going that far for a new location? Like, and I guess
maybe,
it's...
Maybe someone in the...
Go ahead, Dark
In the Sakura. Ownership of it moved to Georgia.
I get like a relative or something like that, I guess. I don't know. Like they can't get fucking In-N-Out further than Texas, but they can get a Chondo's Tacos all the way to Atlanta. Someone,
Tell them
please
bring
explain.
Me a fucking Waffle House.
Please explain. Loki?
Yeah, I used to see the food truck all the time, and I know that they have a physical restaurant up in El Dorado Hills, but I haven't actually been there yet.
Yeah. There's one on Power Inn.
Bobby Blackwell points out they're opening up in Buckhead, which is quite a drive. Atlanta is 2 hours away from Atlanta. Okay, so it's like the Bay Area. I get it. You know what, though? They had one here, and then in like a couple of years. Well, that one in Midtown's been around forever. And then they've just recently exploded. There's like 7 or 8 of them here. So they might be putting one out in Atlanta now, but give it time. Give it to Peachtree Center. It's a matter of time. All right, anyway. Enough food and advertising for a place that didn't pay for it. Sorry, Dark Sakura. What story did you have for us?
I'm eating Del Taco because I wanted junk and it makes me happy. Anyway, how about some Valve stuff?
How about it?
So we know what remote play together is, right? You know, where basically you can play with other people kind of like they were in the same room with you. So basically local multiplayer over the internet, in other words. But before, you had to have everyone had to have their own Steam account. Now they've done this sort of streamlining thing where you don't need to have your own Steam account to join in. You just get the invite and you're playing. So it's like if you have friends in, say, places that Steam's not available, or you have family members who's like, I don't know why I should install that Steam thing, you know? Then they can play with you.
I guess.
And actually right now you can use an early version of it if you sign up for the Steam client beta.
I wonder if this also has to do with things like Game Pass and Microsoft's system that kind of exist outside of Steam and being able to kind of connect those together in a way. That's kind of the impression I got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
It almost, though, has a feeling to me that this is something that's kind of been in the works for a little bit, so.
Well, if crossplay is a thing on consoles, then why shouldn't Steam have its own type of crossplay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another feature that Google Stadia had that now is kind of obsolete. You know, they have that whole thing where, oh, you could just link your chat or link, you know, your YouTube video or whatever to have people join you. Now a competitor has it with... arguably a larger library than they do.
Fair.
It's like I don't know.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, let's move on, Loki.
Yes, so as I was alluding to earlier when we were talking about the PlayStation 5 and having to pick one up probably later this year, Sony has almost very quietly talked about, or at least acknowledged that, yes, there will be another VR, PlayStation VR, coming to the PlayStation 5. They had posted something over on their PlayStation blog saying, introducing the next generation of VR on PlayStation, and saying that there's going to be obviously a new controller developed for it, which makes sense because they have that whole DualSense stuff that they'd want to, of course, incorporate to that. And of course, I'd imagine that, you know, higher spec hardware as well to take advantage of the PlayStation 5. But other than the brief mention of like some of the stuff that's expected, you know, we don't really have a time frame, aside from that they're still in development and it won't be launching in 2021, but maybe 2022, who knows? But yeah, so I'm excited about that. Definitely want to hear some more information about what's coming for that, but yeah, it has me interested.
So this is one of those things where it's
VR
like
that I play.
We knew it's been coming, but now they've kind of like validated it, you know, and like we knew this was happening when. But it's also nice to hear that like Sony isn't like they're still invested in VR, and I think that's the good news. Is that, you know, there may be some people that were thinking, oh, they're just not going to do VR on PlayStation 5 because Sony likes to walk away from hardware just when it's finding its potential, Vita. This is good news that Sony is at least saying, hey, we're committed to doing this. We're going to do a VR thing on the PlayStation 5. We're just not doing it right now, which makes sense.
Basically.
Most people still can't even get a PlayStation 5. And I said this in the very beginning when they launched the system. You're not going to charge somebody $500 for a PlayStation 5 and at the same time charge them $500 for a headset. You know, and I'm just completely speculating these prices. Don't quote me on them. You got to spread that out a little bit to make the pain a little easier on dropping all that money at once. So they've got to get that PlayStation 5 price cut once at least first, and then maybe they can think about that VR headset. But it is nice that it'll be less cables and awkward setup too. They've certainly, I'm sure, designed the PlayStation 5, excuse me, with the idea in mind that it would have a VR thing eventually, I'm sure.
We would hope.
Yeah. SSJ100 Matt in our chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork says, I mean, we knew they were working on PSVR. Sony is also working on PlayStation 6. I would hope they provide more updates for it soon. Yes, Sony's absolutely working on PlayStation 6. We just won't hear anything about it for another 7 years probably. So, yeah. All right. And that'll maybe have VR too. Or maybe PlayStation 6 will just straight up run the holodeck. Because remember, everything in gaming is just one step closer to the holodeck. We've said that for a very long time on this show. Don't want you to forget that. Everything in gaming is just one step closer to the holodeck. All right. Everything in gaming is also apparently going to be coming to PC. speaking of PlayStation and some of the things they're doing, and it was right around the same time they made this VR announcement, they mentioned that more games are going to be coming to PC from PlayStation. I believe the quote was, a whole slate. Now, they haven't given a lot of details, save for one big game. Days Gone will be coming out this spring. You might remember that one was out about a year ago on PlayStation 4. That was a Sony exclusive that they hyped up at a couple of E3s. And that is going to be coming to PC. And you might remember people were saying, why is Horizon Zero Dawn coming out for PlayStation, or excuse me, for PC, and all these other, you know, PlayStation exclusives? And honestly, you know, I think we have to remember that PlayStation isn't just in the business of selling hardware. They're in the business of selling games. And I think there comes a certain point where the games aren't selling. Like, I'm sure a game like Days Gone has pretty much sold about the most that it's going to on the PlayStation 4. So it's time to open it up to a new audience by putting it out on PC, because PlayStation, Sony also makes money by developing and publishing their own games. So this is a way for them to get more money from the games that they've developed by putting them out on PC, because being on PC can also, and this is very important, reach markets that maybe PlayStation isn't officially available in. PC gaming is pretty much everywhere, you know, unless the government forbids it for whatever reason or has censored it. Otherwise, you know, PC gaming can go around the globe pretty quickly, but PlayStation and official retail releases of things, well, you might have imports and stuff like that, but it's not necessarily going to be on the shelf or not necessarily going to be easy to find or cheap at a reasonable price. PC may be the reasonable way for people to play it. And then, of course, nude mods. No, but regular mods, too, are very important. And, you know, the PC community loves that stuff. What's your take on all this PC stuff coming, or PlayStation stuff coming to PC? I keep getting it backwards in my mind. Loki?
I mean, I think it's fine. I think, to your point, you know, it is a good way to drive some more sales. I mean, obviously, Days Gone was a pretty decent title, but it's pretty old at this point, so it makes sense to try to port it out to another console to, or not even necessarily a console, but another platform to basically, you know, drive some more interest in it. And so, yeah, it makes perfect sense that they would do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is where I would move on to the next segment, but Darksoccer, I had to AFK, and the next segment is her segment, so I have extra time. Oh, Darksoccer just came back. Perfect timing, Darksoccer. It's about time for your segment. Hi.
Hi. Yeah. Right. The one problem, things make me sick.
That's all right. All right. Let's get into the classic game of the week. All right. Every week, Darksoccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, kids, you might enjoy this game. Except actually, maybe not the kids this time. I'll let Darksoccer explain here momentarily.
And people with taste.
It is the classic game of the week. And look, it's not, and it's important to state, it's not always classic good. Maybe I should just let Darksoccer take over
it's
the
notable.
Segment here. It's notable. Darksoccer, yeah. What is the classic game of the week?
It was my very last minute pick because I forgot it was still February.
Mm-hmm.
So it's BMX XXX.
Awesome. Now, I do want to state for those on Twitch, we are not allowed to play footage from BMX XXX. It is on Twitch's banned list of games. Please.
Oh my God.
What?
Is this? Never mind. It's not the cat I thought it was.
Okay. Please enjoy this replacement video while Darksoccer talks about BMX XXX.
No, I there's a channel I watch that's Rachel and June. They live in Japan. And when he goes to the store on his bicycle, his cat's in the basket.
Oh, okay. No, I think this guy's that's in Greece. But anyway, okay. Let's talk about BMX XXX.
All right. So it is a sports game that was developed by Z-Axis and published by Acclaim under their AKA Acclaim label. It came out on Xbox, PlayStation 2, and GameCube. It was released in North America. The first release Xbox was November 12th, 2002. For PlayStation 2, November 19th, and GameCube, November 26th of the same year. So this game
if
was
you want to call it a
basically,
game.
Huh?
If you want to call it a game.
Great. It was I had this game. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was an actual fun BMX game.
All right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't interrupt. Sorry, Jamie.
All right. So basically, the game... I have to start a little bit with the beginning. Okay. So it was built on an earlier Z-Axis game, Dave Mira Freestyle BMX, that was endorsed by Dave Mira. But during the development of the new game, because they wanted the game to be, I guess a little bit more appealing to certain audiences, they wanted to style it after some sex comedy type movie view thing. So, and they really came to this when they saw that the game was actually turning out to be pretty subpar. So instead of, you know, calling it a loss, they decided to throw in all of this vulgar, you know, humor and, you know, nakedness and to try to bring some publicity to it. Because as we know, sex sells. Anyway, when Mira found out about it, he's like, no, I'm not going to endorse this. And he actually took legal action against Acclaim to keep his name completely away from it. And he was successful in getting Acclaim to prevent them from using his name. So going back to the game itself, it is a predominantly BMX based game. It allows you to create female characters who are topless, and it has live action video of strippers. I didn't think it was a good game. I mean, honestly, I really didn't think it was a good game. I didn't enjoy it the few times that I played it, you know. Had kind of a little bit of a like a GTA vibe in some parts of it, from what I could tell. I just didn't enjoy it. Anyway, you know, of course, I also think that most shirtless people, doesn't matter of what persuasion they are, kind of squicks me out. So just saying. But anyway, because of all of this, the game was initially denied classification in Australia. They wouldn't classify it. In the U.S., or North America in general, the game was uncensored on GameCube and Xbox. But for the PS2 version, it is censored. There was a lot of publicity for the game, but it was mostly really negative and had really poor reviews, really poor sales. However, it was semi-salvaged into a Game Boy Advance game called Dave Mirra Freestyle BMX 3 that didn't have any of the raunchiness. It was just a straight up game. And yeah, I mean, there was scandal around this too. I mean, you're going to have scandal, I think, when you have a game like this. You know, people, you're going to get your prudes out there. You're going to get your, you know, your Tipper Gores of the world, if you will. To protest it, to talk shit about it, you know. And it just really, the game didn't make any sense, you know. You do tricks, but you're naked. I mean, that's it.
All right.
it's not good. It's not good.
So Loki,
I mean, maybe it helped advertise some New York strip clubs.
I
got banned from like Walmart and Toys R Us
and Twitch. I can't show you the game.
I'm talking about for sale.
I even wanted to know if I could show you the game for like critique purposes, but like I actually looked at the rules and it said like you can report a stream that's like just playing it at all. So I was like, well, all right, I guess I'm going with a cat then, which is, you know, usually a good call, is that when in doubt, just go with a cat. But
well, there's more.
Okay.
So an executive producer formerly of Acclaim named Sean Rosen, and this is a quote from him, is like, you know, when you get a whole bunch of guys in a room, people start throwing out stupid ideas. So we're talking, okay, maybe we should go for a mature rating. What does mature mean? We'll have some hardcore music and maybe language in it. And then someone said, let's put strippers in the game, and everyone laughed. So basically it's, as to quote him, I mean, it's a bunch of dumb guys in a room throwing out ideas. So
go ahead.
Yeah.
So some folks in chat are making comparisons to the Guy game, which was also out around the same time. That was definitely like, catered for a certain audience, we'll say. And I noticed Shane is in chat. Shad Starzik says, the Guy game was, yeah, it was bad, but sometimes in a train wreck sort of way that I just couldn't stop watching. That kind of sums up BMX XXX for me, I think. Like, this game wasn't good, but it was one of those things where it was like, how did this get made? What?
It was, well, no, it's basically like crossing a BMX game with Postal. It's like, you know, trying to be like edgy, you know, in the sense that it's just ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
But like it was going that route. Like, oh, hey, look, haha, we're doing this on purpose. Look,
they were doing it because they could.
Look, it's animals having sex. Oh, my goodness. Who? That's edgy. You know, oh, look, you're getting a bum some alcohol. Ooh, edgy. You know, it's, I don't know. It's.
Well,
okay. It was an okay game. It was frustrating to do some tricks, but like I was trying to play, but it, I don't know. I
Loki,
had fun.
I was gonna say this game is not that old. Where I remember when you and I were roommates, in
absolutely
two or
I bought
three,
it on GameCube because I wanted the uncensored version. So.
Two or three years into OLR, I remember you getting the BMX Triple X game, but you also have an affinity for bad games.
Oh yes, of course I do.
How would this be a classic game for you, and why?
I mean, it wasn't even really rememberable. I mean, it's all right. It was fun. It wasn't terrible. Like, the guy game was kind of terrible. And I don't know. At least this had some gameplay to it.
Well, there's a little bit more to this, too. And this is, again, another quote, actually from one of the employees at Z-Axis. And I do also want to read this verbatim. One thing that, and this is actually coming from a Vice article, an older Vice article. One thing that is a common misconception in the game industry itself is that if an independent developer makes a game, then it's their idea. They stand behind it. They believe in all the content. They're making it for themselves. No, we were paid by Acclaim to make BMX XXX. As much as people think that the people at Z-Axis were crazy for coming up with this idea, we were contracted to make this idea. So blame Acclaim.
It's almost like the movie Showgirls, where like everybody wanted to distance themselves away from it once it came out.
Yeah.
Anyway, but at least Showgirls has found appreciation as a cult movie all these years later. And Elizabeth Berkley, in many ways, is kind of a gay icon of sorts. I'm not sure this game will have that same love ever.
You mean we're not going to get a remake of it like we did with Tony Hawk?
I'm thinking no, but maybe that Game Boy Advance game that was okay, the Dark Sakura mentioned, maybe that one. I'd say that one's first. All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, BMX XXX. Or as those that were watching on Twitch tonight got to see, BMX Triple Cat, which folks are saying should be a dream game, BMX Triple Cat, which I'm kind of into that.
Okay, I have a new dream game idea, Rob.
All right, go for it.
BMX Cat Courier. You have to deliver the cat to its new location. You're like a cat taxi.
So it's like Crazy Taxi, but with bikes and cats.
Exactly.
I'm into it. Does the Offspring provide
meow,
the soundtrack?
Meow, meow, meow,
meow. Okay.
Cat Taxi. Exactly the way that Fifth Dream said it. C-A-T-A-X-I.
Cat Taxi. I thought Crazy Catsy would be the name of it.
doesn't come off as well.
The cat version of the Offspring song really makes the entire game for me. Meow, 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 meow. Do, 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 do.
You know how they have the cat, you know, Christmas whatever thing?
Yes.
With the cat sing,
yes.
You know,
it'd be that.
They do that with all the music in the game. It's all just cats.
It's just like having those artists, you know, come back and cover their songs in
Jingle
Simlish,
cat.
But you would just do it in, like, you know, catish, I guess, or meows.
Tiger Claw says they have Skate Bird. Why not make Skate Cat? Because we want Bike Cat. But you do ask
bike
a good
cat.
Question. Bob Coffee in chat says you have to keep the cat happy, and there's a meter that tracks this. Well, just like the guy in the video, you have to have a little toy that you entertain the cat with once in a while or something to make sure it doesn't try to jump out of the bike.
I
love the idea.
And
Loki,
there's panic
making notes?
Rob,
well, I hate to say this, but this has already been done before.
Really?
And so, like, I would
no,
like
I
to...
I have more for my idea.
Okay.
That when the cat is unhappy, he'll jump out of the basket and try to run away, and then you have panic mode where you have to find the cat. And so that's herding cats mode.
I want to know, what's the game that already exists, Loki? And does it have the meow-based soundtrack?
It doesn't. It is basically a part of Saints Row the Third. It's a tiger escort mission, and you have to drive the tiger around, and if you don't do it right, he will get angry and attack you. So he
That's
is riding
not the same
shotgun.
Thing.
It's sort
there
of
are
the
no
same
BMX thing. Bites and no adorable house cats.
But it's you said cat taxi,
you know,
so
then the Saints Row team needs to make this game. Because they've already started it, and it's going to sell better than that Agents of Mayhem, I guarantee it.
No.
Well, that's a low bar to hit.
All right. Moving on. All right, let's move on. I do love what was it? Crazy Catsy. That's my name for it. All right. Let's move on and talk about some actual news going on in the gaming industry. We'll talk about it a little quickly in a segment we call Rapid Fire News. Loki.
Let's talk about some games we get for paying with our online memberships. So we have Games of Gold for March. So starting off, Warface Breakout and Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse. That's a great name. those are going to be your Xbox Series X and Xbox One titles for the month. And then, of course, for Xbox 360, backwards compatible games, Metal Slug 3 and Port Royale 3. And then on the PlayStation side of things, we have Maquette on PlayStation 5. PlayStation 4 is getting Final Fantasy VII Remake and Remnant from the Ashes. And from PlayStation VR, Farpoint, which is a pretty decent shooter from what I hear. And then also, much like the end of 2020 and the beginning of this year, they're going to be continuing their play-at-home initiative that they're doing. So they were giving some big AAA titles out on PlayStation 5 for free. So it's going to continue with, of course, the new Ratchet & Clank game. So that's going to be pretty awesome. Yeah, Ratchet & Clank. So they're the PlayStation 4 remake is what they're going to be giving out. And I guess to kind of get you hyped up for Rift Apart, which is going to be coming out in June. So, cool.
All right. That's pretty cool that they're giving away kind of that additional free game without even having to have Plus. I mean, there's nothing forcing Sony to do that. They're just kind of doing it out of goodwill to keep people at home just a little bit longer while we try to get through the rest of this and get everybody vaccinated. All right. Yeah. Moving on, some other rapid fire news. I swear to God, everything has come to Fortnite recently. We've had Master Chief, we've had Kratos, Tron got a thing. What was the other? Oh, Street Fighter got a thing recently. Well, guess what we're getting now? Because Fortnite is now just pop culture orgy the game. I think it
ties in with their theme for this season, which is kind of like, if you want to like compare it to the MCU, it's like the multiverse thing. So they're just pulling things out of all different franchises, or it's an excuse to just hodgepodge.
How convenient of a story to get away with stuff like this. But you know what? I will say, if nothing else, this is pretty cool because joining Fortnite is Ripley, as in from the Alien film, as in
Ellen
Sigourney.
Ripley.
Yeah, as in Sigourney Weaver. Who's what, 71, I think, and still looks phenomenal. But this is Ripley based off the 70s Alien movies. And Xenomorph is coming as well. So these are skins that you can purchase, because, of course, they're not going to give these away for free, through the item shop. There's also an emote called Burst Case Scenario, and we'll let you imagine what happens in that. But hint, it has to do with the Alien films. All this Final Fantasy VII news this week, there is one other little thing you should know about. The Final Fantasy VII Remake soundtrack is now out on all the big streaming services. So if you're a Spotify person, an Apple Music person, an Amazon Music person, whatever it is, enjoy the Final Fantasy VII Remake soundtrack because it's pretty fucking good. And I think a lot of people were waiting for official releases of these musics to come out, or at least hit the streaming services, which is what a lot of us are using these days. So check that out on your favorite streaming service if you haven't already. Dark Sakura.
Well, a place that I have actually always enjoyed is the Pinball Museum in Las Vegas, which is actually a 501. It's a nonprofit. And basically, they were living on donations or what people, would pay for getting into that. And any leftovers were donated to a questionable charity. I won't name it. But they were, they were actually planning on moving on to the Strip. And as it turns out, with COVID, that prevented them from being able to do anything. And in fact, they might have had to have shuttered had it not been for a man named Stephen Campbell in town. He had a YouTube page on YouTube called Not Leaving Las Vegas. And so he helped raise nearly $80,000 to help them. And handed the check over. I mean, basically, so they are going to be moving to the Strip. They have a very great retail space, they said, and wow. They said that they're going to be able to pay the bills, get the building done, and open well within their originally planned budget. So it's going to be really good. And they're having a food truck fundraiser if you are in Las Vegas at the current place. However, it's already happened because it was today. So
I wonder where
I'm. And other news. Yeah, I mean, it's actually, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then in other news, there's a Frogger TV game show coming to Peacock, a streaming service, and it sounds terrible.
it's trying to make Frogger happen.
As most Konami products are these days.
It's going to be American contestants, but it's in Australia. And basically, they have to go through an obstacle course to dodge traffic, leap over gators, and hungry hippos. I'm like, except they're, you know, foam rubber. So yeah. Okay, Frogger TV show. Whatever.
This sounds like one of those like Wipeout American Warrior type of shows.
Takeshi's Castle.
That all have roots in Takeshi's
cool.
Castle. Yeah. So it sounds like another one of those kind of shows to me. It is interesting, though. Just a quick aside before we get into the release dates. Like, you know, these streaming services are really just, I mean, we had Disney Plus unveil a bunch of stuff a few weeks ago. And then this week was a lot of information about Paramount Plus. It might have been a little bit last week as well. But, you know, Paramount Plus is just CBS All Access going through a branding change. So I already have the CBS thing because Star Trek, you know. So I'm going to be just converted to this Paramount Plus, but they've got a lot of stuff coming to this. Controversially, a new season of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars will only be on Paramount Plus, which means it's going to get pirated to hell, but that's their problem, I guess. So that's interesting.
I think it's still going to restream on Apple TV, though.
Oh, yeah. I think.
Or the sub services.
Yeah, like the sub services, like people buy them on iTunes and stuff or Amazon. I think that'll still exist for sure. But as far as like there might still be like a little bit of a window type of thing. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that'll all still exist. But I was super interested in they're doing a Real World reunion. That's like, I mean, that show was like 30 years ago. It was a long. I was in high school when that show first came out.
How old are these people going to be?
They're pushing, they're 49, 50, 51. They're right in that. They're in their like 50s. But if you think about it, Loki, like I have some hard truths for us here at Orange Lounge Radio. Those folks in the Real World cast in their 50s are closer to our age than a lot of the 21 and 22 year olds that make shows like Big Brother and Survivor these days. So the reality is that's a little closer, but I'm interested to see people that are a little more representative of like, you know, that kind of shift from Generation X to millennials that are kind of in that area. I guess these guys are a little more cemented in Gen X, but still I'm kind of excited to see like a reality show that kind of focuses on that. And just because, you know, especially that show, whether you love or hate reality TV, this was back when they were casting real people. I mean, the people that were on that show were real people. Later seasons of The Real World, not so much. But those first, we'll say 7 or 8 seasons of The Real World were pretty real people. It was a very interesting show. It was later on in the series when it, you know, became a clusterfuck and it's not worth your time. But yeah. Oh, and I forgot New Orleans. I guess New Orleans was what, like 9? I think that was right around whenever that Vegas season, which I think was the 10th, that was when the show really shifted from real people to like
real actors.
Jerry Springer rejects. That's when there was a shift. There was that Vegas season, which I think was around 10.
You know which one I really liked the best?
Which one?
None of them.
Ooh, she's different. All right.
So you're not a Puck fan?
No, he was not nice. Anyway, let's move on.
I'm a bigger fan of my churro.
Although the Real World San Francisco was probably the best season they ever had, but I might be a little biased. Anyway, let's move on back to games. Let's travel around the world and check out some games that'll be coming out soon. World release dates. Loki, what's coming out in the US?
Yeah, so we've got Harvest Moon One World, and that's coming out on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Neptunia Virtual Stars on PlayStation 4. Maquette, as we mentioned, which is part of the free PlayStation Plus stuff, coming out on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC. Yakuza Like a Dragon out on PlayStation 5. R No Surge DX on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. We have CL No Surge on DX. That's also PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Nausea on Nintendo Switch. Loop Hero on PC, Mac, and Linux. Mortal Shell Enhanced Edition on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Sea of Solitude Director's Cut on Nintendo Switch. Ironically, when we were talking about BMX Triple X, we have Postal Redux coming out on PlayStation 4 and Two Point Hospital Jumbo Edition on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's it.
All right. Traveling to Japan and checking out the releases on the Switch. Loki mentioned these for the U.S., and they're really the only releases in Japan this week. That's CL No Surge DX and R No Surge DX. Those are out in Japan this week as well. That is on the Nintendo Switch. Checking the PlayStation 5. Yakuza Like a Dragon gets its release on the PlayStation 5 this week in Japan. And then on the PlayStation 4, we have those same games that I mentioned on the Switch. And that's really it. It's kind of a slower week in Japan, although not empty for sure. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
We have on the 2nd, Monster Jam Steel Titans 2, Yakuza Like a Dragon for PS5. On the 4th, we have Sea of Solitude for Switch, New Super Lucky Tale, Galgun 2, Vectronom, I'm sorry, could not pronounce that for a second. That's on the 5th, by the way. We have On the Road Truck Simulator, Avaland Legendary Edition, Externum EX, Dex, Two Point Hospital Jumbo Edition, Forum/Twilight Path, Harvest Moon One World, Hellpoint, Iris Falls, and ReZero, The Prophecy of the Throne.
All right. We got a few more stories for you guys before we get to our listener roundtable with the mailbag and your comments in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. But first, Loki with another story.
Yeah, so Epic is now settling a class action lawsuit with loot boxes by handing out fake money. So they're handing out 1,000 V-Bucks to anybody who has purchased a random loot llama, and apparently this was for U.S. players only, but they've expanded it to the entire world. Gee, I wonder if it's to hook people into buying more of these random loot boxes.
Culture orgy they've got going on in the game right now.
Exactly. Or and then along with that, though, also if you had purchased an event crate or key for Rocket League, you will also receive 1,000 Rocket League credits as well as part of the same settlement. Cool, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's about the same amount of money that you would have gotten either way, so which is nothing. So cool.
Sometimes a digital product settles this, though. Like, remember way back the PlayStation 3 and the lawsuits over removing the other OS feature? And what did people get out of that? They got like 2 free games out of a possible list of 5. You remember that whole thing? I mean, if you think about it, as much as we kind of giggle about they're not really giving anything away by giving up, I mean, that's kind of what Sony did. They gave away their own currency when they got. So this is not the first time we've seen a resolution like this, as silly as it is. So,
yeah.
So, all right.
That's that, I guess.
All right. Well, you know, with all the news that's been a little bit on Stadia, I think a lot of people are looking to Microsoft and what's going on with their streaming service. Well, apparently some things have been, you know, they've got like a beta going on right now, and more is kind of leaking out and stuff. But we also know that they are testing 1080p Xbox Game Pass streaming. I mean, that's not 4K, but still. And there might even be other stuff for PC Remote Play. Anyway, 720p is what it does now on the phone, but they're actually testing 1080p streams. Don't know how widespread that testing is. It's just something that is showing up for certain people. But that's going to be great, especially when it comes to some of the big screen games. Also, there was a leak from a Twitter user, Tom Warren, that actually showed some of the xCloud app for Windows. So this is going to be like a Windows app that you use, and you can actually stream to your PC, which was something you could do on the console companion app, but this is going to allow you to do it like through the cloud and stuff. So this would be very interesting. I'm very excited to see kind of what the future holds for Microsoft streaming. I like the concept that I'm streaming my own console. So like, even if I'm on my phone, and you know, at some point, 5G is going to become more and more prevalent, right? And more people are going to have those kinds of phones. More people are going to be able to have access to that kind of data in certain cities. And over a 5G connection, I could probably connect to my Xbox here at home and play games when I'm somewhere else. So, and, you know, it's probably not going to be great for things like Halo and stuff. But, you know, for things that are a little bit less intensive, like maybe like Overcooked, I mentioned earlier in the show, I could play that, but it would be from my Xbox, my save file, my achievements, and all that stuff. So I'm very interested to see how Microsoft kind of continues to bring this to the table. It's going to be interesting to have cloud gaming in these different ways, and it's not just a computer in the cloud running the game for you, although that is a thing too. So kind of neat. All right. Moving on. Dar Sakura.
Well, you know, the science part of gaming is totally my jam. There are some researchers at Uber AI Labs in San Francisco that have created some learning algorithms for AI that proved to be better at playing classic video games than human players or any other AI player that existed. Basically, and they published it in a journal called Nature. So what they did to make it different is something that they think they can have apply to robotics, language processing, and even possibly the creation of new medicines. So they're using reinforcement learning algorithms. What it does is it synthesizes information provided in a large data set. So it recognizes patterns and uses them to make guesses about new data. And, you know, they've used this to spot lung cancer in x-rays, but they ran into some walls with that when they found data that didn't fit with everything else in the data set. So it would bring back some wrong results. So they added another algorithm that lets it remember the paths that a previous algorithm took when it's trying to solve a problem. They have implemented this test by having their AI play 55 Atari games. And then they did, you know, the testing through those AI systems with that. So the new system beat the other AIs 85.5% of the time. And did really well at Montezuma's Revenge, by the way. but they're saying that since it's learning from its past mistakes, that this particular algorithm now, when applied to, you know, other fields, is going to let it explore new paths that would have just been, you know, returned, you know, invalid or incorrect based on that new data. Instead, it's going to learn from what it's done already based how it treats the new data around things that have and have not worked. Little scary, really awesome.
Yeah, because I was joking with Bobby before the show tonight when we were doing the tossover call. I said, the Cylons are learning more because that's kind of...
Skynet.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like the Cylons are able to beat us at Frogger soon.
It's the MCP, Control Program.
Oh, yeah. So
It started off as a chess game, Rob.
I'm with you. There's part of it that's really neat, and there's part of it that's really scary as well. So we'll see where this leads us. But the idea of the machine learning from its past mistakes is a very interesting step for sure. So, All right. Moving on, Loki.
Yeah, so it's like, what year is this again? Are we back in the early 2000s again? But yeah, apparently now, because of all the violence in the world, it's got to be video games that's causing the violence. So apparently a Illinois state representative, Marcus Evans Jr., has made an amendment to a statute that passed in 2005 that apparently bans the sale of violent video games to minors. But now he's proposed that instead he would ban the sale of violent video games to buyers of all ages and change the definition of violent video game to include both physical and psychological harm. Of course, who's going to be determining whether it's violent or not? Who knows?
It's not going to pass. He's a moron.
Well, I don't know. Dumber things have happened. But, hey, I don't live in Illinois, so I guess that's good for me.
Well, look, you know, now we have also a standard that the Supreme Court has set because of what happened with Schwarzenegger versus, I don't know what it was, but it was because, you know, California tried a law a long time ago. Now, also, one of the scary things to keep in mind, the Supreme Court is very different now than it was then. So could be interesting, but I still think
there's studies that support it. That's what doesn't make any sense. It's like I think what it'd be more the argument is like, well, you're trying to, you know, you're censoring this stuff. And I don't know. It's just, I can't see it being successful. I'm fine with the bill that they have already with barring it from minors. That's cool. But from everybody, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Is that applied to movies as well?
Well, and that's the thing. I think ultimately that's what it's going to come down to is that you're treating games differently than you're treating all these other mediums. Darsaka?
Yeah.
But there's no mention of sexual content in there. TV and games seem to be perfectly fine with that, but it's violence they have the problem with.
And we don't get as much sexuality in game. I'm not going to deny it exists. Of course, obviously, you highlighted an excellent example earlier tonight, but it is certainly much more prolific in movies and TV than it is in gaming. So violence is usually associated more with gaming, but that certainly exists in the, you know, movie, TV, and all that world as well. I mean, again, you know, I'm not a fan of those Saw movies, and the horror porn and that stuff is just is worse than a lot of stuff I've seen in games. So, I just don't understand how one can be okay and the other isn't. So, all right. Moving on. One more story for you guys. And yes, it's video gaming related. Didn't y'all ever play DJ Hero? Because that game was awesome. Well, one of the bands that was featured in DJ Hero has announced they are splitting up. And yes, I'm talking about Daft Punk. And they released a video this week called Epilogue, where they announced that they are retiring. And that came out on Monday. And that's it. Daft Punk is essentially no more. I mean, there could always be a reunion later on, I suppose. But it definitely, I mean,
did you not watch the video?
No, I know, I know.
Exploded.
You know what?
I got from explosions.
Come on. A bitch always has super glue. Give me a break. The Cylons are adapting and learning from their mistakes. Who's to say? I just, you know, there's always ways to write in a revival. But anyway, I mean, Daft Punk hasn't really put out their own material in a long time. Now, granted, they've been producing for other people. You know, The Weeknd, I think, owes a bit to Daft Punk and so forth. There's other artists as well. But certainly, you know, one reason why I'm like, I'm fine bringing this up on OLR, even though the DJ Hero connection is a bit of a stretch, I definitely think Daft Punk still plays into a very, you know, similar type of culture. I think all of us are familiar with the band and probably have liked some of their stuff. I know for me, like, the Tron Legacy soundtrack was life-changing. That soundtrack is so good, and it's really sad to think that, you know, if we get a third movie, not only is Jared Leto likely to be in it, but now Daft Punk's not going to be doing the score. I want to give someone else a chance because, you know, Wendy Carlos did a great job with the first movie too, so maybe there's an artist out there I just haven't thought of with Tron yet that will give us a great third soundtrack. But I got, there's that part of me that was hoping for some more Daft Punk meets Tron, and so that's a little bit sad. There it is.
Yeah.
Shad Starzik says, who's going to do the next Tron movie soundtrack now? Well, they were a duo, and if they've split, one of them could still do it. But I'm of the mindset that there will be a completely new... because, again, they didn't do the very first movie in the 80s, you know? And Wendy Carlos is still around, and I think she was still scoring movies in the early...
She's done independent...
Yeah, she did. But work. Didn't she stop by 2010? I don't think she's done much since the early aughts. I could be wrong, but
she did some digital tribute ones to a few different string things. I'll have to double check again because it's been a little bit since I've looked into her career.
Yeah, it's been a while too. But my point is, they didn't go to her for the second movie, and you know, they went a different direction. I love what they did with Daft Punk, but the original still, it's the original's over here. Daft Punk's over here. They're both great. They both coexist. So my reasoning is there could be a third person we just haven't thought of yet that may also create a great soundtrack. So I need to be able to be open to that idea, even if I'm really never going to warm up to the Jared Leto thing. But I'm just hoping he's going to play a minor character and not a major one. That's my hope. All right. Zen Monkey is suggesting Labyrinth from the UK. He mixes video game tracks in his music. He's a genius. You know what? There's a lot of people that could probably do a great job. So we'll see what happens. Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, so Daft Punk is split up. Sad. All right. Let's get to our listener roundtable. If you guys have any questions or points you want to raise in our chat room over twitch.tv/VogNetwork, now is a great time to do it. But we want to get to our mailbag. I think, I don't remember if I saw anything.
It's empty.
It's empty. Boo hoo.
You know that means
Drag Race talk, except I kind of stopped watching this season a couple weeks ago and they didn't even do a new episode this week.
The episode that they did this week, though, was pretty cool. I thought it was talking about how they prepped for, with COVID and everything. It was actually pretty cool.
Look, when the end of the world comes around, we're going to be left with cockroaches, Cher, and season 13 still going because they aren't sending girls home. Like, that's what's
good.
But slowly.
But the next episode is Snatch Game, Rob.
I know. I need to get back on the train and get watching it again. I was watching it the first few weeks, and then, of course, I missed one week because something else, and then, you know, Twitter spoils me at the end of the day. All right. Mm. Send us emails. participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to have your email read on a future episode of the show. Again, that is participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Let's check last minute stories. Loki, do you have anything you want to share with us?
I was going to talk about. So remember we talked a little bit about the Cyberpunk hack or the Siege Project Red hack.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently because of that hack and locking out all the developers, it has pushed back the updates that they were planning to release for Cyberpunk because they haven't had access to their computers for a few weeks. So that's kind of sucks that it's halted progress on those updates. But apparently they're going to be resuming progress on that pretty soon.
I guess it's understandable, even though for that game, it certainly doesn't help the situation they're in. That hacking's a bummer. But as far as we know, no further, they really did release the source code to a source that's going to keep it under lock and key because that was part of the agreement, right? So none of that should be going out there as far as we know.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Anything else you want to share?
No, that's about it.
All right. I'm looking at chat to see if there's any other comments. I don't see any comments or questions. I'll give it just a couple more minutes. Some folks still talking about the Tron stuff. Tiger Claw saying, I want Junkie XL because he produced a lot of electronic music. That's talking about Tron back in the day and became an awesome film composer. That could be an option. Who knows? So
he's still doing a lot of soundtracks. In fact, I want to say he's doing the new Godzilla versus King Kong movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing the soundtrack for that as well. But yeah, he does a lot. So, I mean, he'd be pretty good. Or, I don't know. There's a lot of people that can do some good stuff. There's so many synthwave artists out there and stuff. I mean, you can get quite a bit of, you know, stylized stuff. Or they can even do it in the style of, like, Daft Punk, you know, that kind of thing. Take inspiration from it.
going back to an earlier kind of topic on the show and also putting the spin on it, we were talking about Paramount Plus and all the stuff that they were announcing for that. Something I forgot to mention, that Halo series that I think was originally being developed for Showtime, if I'm remembering right.
Oh gosh, that's so long ago.
That I know, it was a long time ago. That is, but they Paramount Plus has announced Halo, the Halo series is going to be for them now. So that's interesting. Another thing in their pocket, but I think Showtime is part of Viacom. So I really feel like, Paramount Plus to really, you know, because obviously I think we're all getting sick of new streaming services, right? Like it seems like I thought this is why we got rid of cable, you know, now everybody's trying to do their own streaming service. But I think if you're going to launch a new one, you really have to come out the gate swinging or else, you know, you're going to flop. And that's why Paramount Plus is like, we, you know, they are Viacom essentially. So it's like, we're going to bring in the biggest stuff from VH1, Drag Race. We're going to bring in the biggest stuff from MTV, like new seasons of The Challenge and The Real World and that stuff.
Remake Rugrats.
We're gonna bring in the biggest stuff from Nickelodeon. That's part of Viacom. So
and
this is part of
CG Rugrats. CG SpongeBob.
And this is part of the biggest stuff from Showtime is stealing the Halo series. So it's
they're gonna bring back Salute Your Shorts. Yeah. Guts.
Tiger Claw in chat says
Crazy Kids.
Tiger Claw in chat says Paramount Plus is not really new since it's just CBS All Access rebranded. Yes and no. And let me tell you, this is a CBS All Access person because I have it because I watch Star Trek and other stuff on it. It's actually, we pay a dollar more for CBS All Access and we've been offered to transition to Paramount Plus for $4.99 a month, but we will lose the ability to stream local CBS networks, which is interesting. So there is a key difference there. And I think they said later in the year, you can get that back and add it into your Paramount Plus, but it's going to cost more money to get your CBS station streaming in it again. So there are some differences. It's not just, and they're going to have a different app and all this stuff. It's just the account holders are all kind of moving over to a Paramount Plus thing. But it is very much Viacom's, which is, you know, and Paramount is part of that. That's their movie studio. It's very much their thing. And CBS is one part of Viacom. So it's really trying to build a bigger thing. I don't want to sound like I'm advertising or endorsing them. I'm just saying this is the reality. We're getting yet another streaming service. And this is why. Basically, let's see other questions and comments from chat. Fifth Dream says, all I'm saying is the stream quality had better improve. Star Trek looks like shit. It doesn't to me. I wonder if that's something about your connection. Hopefully they'll use different servers then. So I guess there's that. So, Bobby says the Star Trek stuff is not disappearing from other services on March 4th. No, it is not. And I think there's still going to be Viacom stuff on other services, like Dark Soccer was saying, like Drag Race episodes you can still buy on like iTunes, Amazon, whatever. And I don't see that changing because if there's other ways to take your money, I'm sure they're willing to do it. Oh, and Tiger Claw brings out the movies are only going to have a theatrical window of 45 days, and then they're going to go to the streaming service. So this is also very interesting. So anyway, yeah, now we have to kind of pick and choose what streaming services do we want, because I'm kind of like at the point where I'm like, there's not a lot on Hulu that I really watch, so maybe I'm going to scale back on that. I don't know. All right. Yeah, Bobby Blackwell says, this is the a la carte cable model we all wanted.
Sort of. Not quite.
Sort of. There's just so many. I understand Netflix could not be the one-all be-all. And that competition is good. There should be a few choices. But now it's just starting to feel like there's so many choices. It's like that gif of Melissa Joan Hart from, I think, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, where everybody's putting pancakes and breakfast in front of her all at once. And she's like looking around with her fork going, I don't know which one to eat because there's just so damn many of them. And that's, you know. But you know what? You also have the right to say, fuck all of them. And I'm just going to watch YouTube and Twitch. And that's what some people are doing, too. So some could argue that you're only paying for premium content because you want to have premium content. Anyway. All right. Yeah, Pixel Paca says, if you're not actively using a service, you can always unsubscribe. Then when a new show comes out, subscribe for that month or two to watch. Yeah, that's why they really try to they try to get you to subscribe for a year at a time so that you're less likely to do that. And DJ Rama S points out trading accounts. Yeah, yeah, I've definitely, you know, done that. I'm not going to talk in detail about it, but I know what you're talking about. Wink, wink. So there is that. All right. I think things are wrapping up here, so we're going to wrap up the show. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Well, before we do final thoughts, I want to thank you guys very much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Whether you were listening on the podcast feed or here live with us on Twitch, we really appreciate you taking time out of your week to support the show and be here with us. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then what can we do? So yes, please tell your friends about the show. Word of mouth helps a lot. A nice 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you found this show goes a long way. Sharing on social media, auto hosting on Twitch for VOG Network is incredible support, and thank you to everyone that does that. That is a huge boost for us as well. If you are feeling so inclined and you'd like to get some VOG Network merchandise, including OLR stuff, I'd like you to head on over to vognetwork.com/shop, and you can support the show that way as well if you so choose to. All right, now I think we're ready for some final thoughts, so let's do it. Loki, why don't we start with you tonight? Your final thought.
My final thought is I'm just going to keep working on games. I do want to get started on a new project. Still haven't figured out what I'm going to do yet. I was leaning a little bit towards the NES again, because they have there's an NES game jam happening in March, but I'm not sure if I'm actually going to do that or not. So we'll see.
All right. And my final thought is I'm wearing a shirt tonight on Twitch that says live long and prosper, because this is the anniversary week of Leonard Nimoy passing. So I will just say rest in peace, but not forgotten. Dark Soccer, your final thought.
It is Rainbow Pride Week in Japan. Oh. So for Youth Pride Japan actually is having a big public following on Twitter. So to our Japanese listeners, hi.
Hello. All right. Thank you so much, everyone around the world, for checking out Orange Lounge Radio. And we'll be back to do it all again in 7 days. But for now, have a wonderful week and happy gaming. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.